I lost track of time last time. I didn't remember when I started or when I was supposed to end, and Dale just sort of kept saying, go ahead. I could have went another hour. I apologize. Trying not to be too long-winded on you. I told you at the beginning, I lose concept of time. Well, you ready for one more?
Yes.
All right. You're the surviving crew after all of this. Well, I'm going to take you, we're going to go into a little bit deeper one this time. We're going to cover Jesus Christ and His blood in the aspect of overcoming. And we're going to be in Revelation chapter 12. And you may figure out where I'm going, which verse. Which would be verse 11. Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let us pray. Well, Father, we ask you to rebuke the enemy away from this place. We do claim the covering of the blood of Christ over our meeting, over ourselves, over our families, our loved ones. And we ask that the Spirit of God would open up to us that which you want us to see in this next message here. Again, we pray for any without Christ as their Savior listening or here, that the dear Holy Spirit would open up their hearts to see how simple it is just to surrender their soul to Christ and to trust Him to save them. We do the calling. You say, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that we don't know, that we know not. And you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You wait for us to cry out to you. Thank you for the power of your word, and we ask that the word accomplish that which you pleased at this time. Rebuke the enemy from us in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a note on this that says, skip the first three pages. And somebody else might have hinted that you've had enough long messages. Well, maybe I can sort of speed preach over these first three pages. I hate to leave out anything. Before I came, I spent time going over these nine messages, and then each time this weekend, I went over each one before. This afternoon, I was really short on time on doing it. But let me just see if I can glean a few things. I always have a lot of scriptures and stuff like that. But Revelation 12, the time is tribulation period. The two witnesses in chapter 11 have just, they're there, and there's woe and the trumpets, and I just... maybe could give you some kind of little bit on the setting, but there's war between Satan and with believers. And I should probably at least just read the whole chapter, but there's so much. The dragon is mentioned, I think, seven or eight times in this passage. And we're off into the future. Hopefully we're all gone when this happens. I'm pulling for the rapture to occur before the tribulation starts, or at least right there. It doesn't have to start right at the same time. But then there's going to be some troublesome times, and the Antichrist is going to reveal himself. He could be even alive now. I'm reading about five books at the same time right now. One I'm reading about a rabbi, real famous rabbi in Israel that died in 2006. And he supposedly revealed who the Messiah was. And he was 106 years old when he died. And I mean, he's the most famous in Israel. They had all huge crowds when he died for his funeral there. And he told everybody that he had seen the Messiah, and he knew who he was. And he left it in a note that was not supposed to be revealed until he was dead. 1 year. And so after 1 year, they opened up the note, and they just went crazy. They thought he was crazy, an apostle, because he said the Messiah's name was Yeshua. But there's some interesting things, and I'm not through with the book, whatever. Was it really Yeshua, or did he meet the Antichrist? He said he was alive then. And it's sort of interesting going in there. Anyway, it really upset things. Because they don't want Yeshua. They don't want Jesus as their Messiah. They don't believe in it. They've really been fed a lie from Satan. And a lot of Jewish people have not been treated very well by people that are supposed to be Christians. And so there's the dragon there. He's called in verse 9, this Satan, the devil, the serpent. And there's a lot of stuff in there. I'm going to have to just slip through this. But the dragon wants to destroy Christ. He wants to destroy you. And there's some deadly things coming ahead. If we might just read verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before him, before God day and night. And it's just a lot of things here. And to go into all of this, there's just a lot there. And I haven't really got into prophecy a lot in the last few years. Right now, I'm boning up on it a little bit. There's so many interesting things. But during the tribulation, I think the Jewish believers, those of Church of Christ, are going to know what's going on. But what we want to focus on here is not this woman. It talks about the woman which was Israel and the nations and all kinds of stuff there. But we want to focus on the aspect of the war. Not look at the woman, not look at the dragon. The woman represented Israel in this. But look at the war that's going on. 7 through 12 just talks about the warfare here. And just for time, I just can't go into all of that. But I will tell you, Satan loses. And if you're a Christian, you're on the winning side here. But there's adversaries, and verse 9 talks about he deceives the great dragon. Cast out that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We have no concept, really, of what was going on, or what is going on right now with deception. I've got on my phone a video thing back in there somewhere, saved, where all these junior high kids are sitting in a gym. And out of the middle of the gym floor, this huge whale jumps up and splashes back down, and water flies everywhere. And he goes back down into the floor. And the kids are, and then they show it again in slow motion. They're, you know, think if they're just doing that with their electronics and their lasers and stuff, Satan, there could be something projected in the sky, and you would think it was real. It is amazing stuff. It's an amazing thing to see. And those kids are just shocked to see a whale jump up out of there. And it's all with their technology. And this was years ago. And so he's going to really pull this Antichrist when he comes in, supposedly brings peace in the world for the first 3.5 years. God's going to be pouring out judgments. And they're going to finally get the whole world to come to peace. And in the middle of it, he's going to really reveal his true self. And a lot of killings are going to go on and stuff like that. Well, let's see, is that my second page, my third page I'm supposed to skip? Let's go into it. I'm going to start off in this third page and go a little bit more. But there's three weapons of our warfare in this passage. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. First is the blood of Christ. Two things. Satan doesn't like the blood, and he doesn't like the name of Jesus. And the blood cleanses us. It keeps us pure. It nullifies the accusations of the devil because we overcome by the power of the blood of Christ. And you know, if we face our battles with our flesh, I was going through Romans chapter 8, all the things, the flesh is weak and all these different things. We just don't win our wars. But we've got to go with the Holy Spirit. Now, okay, I'm trying to skip this third page fast. And, you know, Moses tried the flesh. It didn't work. He got angry, killed an Egyptian later on. You know, he struck the rock the second time. and because he's angry and whatever. Just any time we operate in the flesh, it doesn't work. It goes in reverse. Trust me, I've tried it. And David, you know, he wouldn't go with the flesh armor of Goliath. He wanted to go with the Spirit of God. You might say something about him a little bit later. And so, you know, if you're going to face old giant despair, the key is you do it by faith and you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And so it's faith in the blood. Okay, now I'm up to page 4 and I can just get into this a little bit, maybe. So we fight our battles by faith. We overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And just for reminders, we know God has said we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. And we have all these amazing promises from God. And so actually, conquerors there means to gain a surpassing victory. You know, we're more. We're hyper. Hyper Nikeo. We are more. Have you ever studied about the Greek stuff? Looking at the Pantheon and stuff. You got Athena, the goddess of wisdom there, and you have Mount Olympus and the goddess of victory. And, you know, a lot of this stuff carries over into our society. How many of you guys wear Red Wing boots? I got a pair back at the house, Sheldon. Okay. The wings are pretty prominent. There's the Mercury. You see the wings with Mercury? A Mercury car. I was looking at different cars that had wings. You have the yellow wing. I forget what that was. The Amazon has the wings for the Bentley, the Aston Martin, the Phoenix, the Mazda with their wings, and the Hyundai, Genesis, the One or whatever. And so a lot of this comes from the Greek stuff, the Greek mythology and all these things. If you got an old dime with the Mercury dime, you know, they pull this stuff from the world. All right, and so they overcome. Nike. You ever heard of Nike? Anybody ever heard? With a check. That's where it comes from. Nikeo. And so they overcome. They're more than conquerors. And we overcome 1 John 2:13-14. There's a bunch of things about our victory in overcoming. And 1 Corinthians 15:57 is a good verse. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. And I've got to get on over here to get into this a little bit. Watchman Nee has a book called The Overcoming Life. I have it. A friend of mine bought it. It's like $20 or $22. It's a powerful book on the overcoming life. And that is, he says, the normal Christian life. A lot of Christians live subnormal, maybe what we'd say. Not the normal Christian life. And so God gives us the things that we need to train us for the race. And the value of obstacles, we've been learning that. The value of grief and trials and everything. You know, when I ran track, I would run up and down the aluminum stands and wear these lead weights. And then when I go to track and run, I would take them off. Didn't do much good. Still didn't win too much. But you'd feel real light. But he wants us to lay aside the weights. And we're going to talk about that the next message. So let's see if there's some keys to overcoming. There are. We've already mentioned some. We're more than conquerors. And also, we've talked about this, that we have to surrender it. We have to surrender to the Lord whatever is the weight. Take it off. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. You know what? We can just hurt ourselves. I had an aunt. She's gone to be with the Lord years ago. But she allowed this homeless guy to come into the house and live there. Moved into the main bedroom, had his own bathroom. Over time, this guy just robbed her blind. Stole my uncle's guns. He was dead, but he was already gone. But just over time, he just stole everything. And finally, a cousin of mine, we moved in there and said, "Aunt Mary, you just got to get rid of this guy." And he was hard to get rid of, basically because she didn't really think she wanted to get rid of him, but she needed to. She didn't see what he was doing. And she had a son still living there, and there's clashing and all that. Finally, we went over there one day, and we got him, and we made him leave him. We took him over to his brother's house. His brother didn't want him. But we didn't want them worse, and so we dumped them off there when it stopped. But she just, you know, trying to be kind-hearted and everything, and she'd give him her card, her plastic, so he could go buy his cigarettes and liquor and whatever. Aunt Mary, you can't do this stuff. She just didn't understand, and we don't either sometimes. We've got to get rid of them, or it just would destroy it. It was really, really bad. And just think about Jesus coming to the guy who wanted to follow him. He kept the commandments, and then Jesus says one thing. All it takes is one thing. Give what you got to the poor and come follow me. And basically, he did not want to surrender his life to Christ. He wanted to follow Christ and have his thing. And the Lord says, it doesn't work like that. It's all or nothing. And so if we're going to have victory, it's got to be all or nothing. And maybe some of that, sometimes there's something we got to wrestle with all the time. But by the blood of Christ, we overcome. So the blood of the saints, of course, was the seed of the church, and they conquered. I heard about one missionary at China, CIM, China Inland Mission, whatever. He come to the leader of the organization there. He said, can you give me an assignment somewhere to work for the Lord where the communists won't come and bother me? I said, they're everywhere. In other words, he would like a cushion cross. You know, one that it's not too uncomfortable. I don't know what they did with them, but that's not really the life to live in victory. All right. Let me just slow down a little bit and come back. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You know, one thing I do a lot of times when I try to witness to somebody and I realize I can't get in there, I say, can I share with you something that happened to me? And I'll give them my testimony of what happened to me when I was in college. And it's rude to cut a guy off. And so I'll give them the gospel in my testimony, sharing how God's... We overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we don't care what happens to our life. And that is powerful. That's a powerful weapon. There were things back in here that I maybe should have shared. The surrendered life. Blessed Saint. But let me just, I'm going to slow down on this next page. Got two pages left here. And let's sort of dig in a little bit. The word of their testimony. What the word of the testimony does, and this is why sometimes people will not share their testimony. They don't have a testimony. Well, I've heard this one several times. Well, I have a grandpa or an uncle or whatever that's a Methodist preacher. I've heard that about half a dozen times, maybe more. When I ask him about salvation and them getting saved and whatever, how do we get off to your grandpa? And that's like my farmer friend in Wyoming. I learned that from him, to listen for the testimony. I have asked dozens of people for their testimony. We go through all this stuff and I get done. They didn't have a testimony. You know? Oh, I went to church and did this and whatever. And so then if I have a chance, I'll move in. The reality is proved by your testimony. And that should be a precious thing, however God saved you. And so he's talking in this passage about how Satan tries to deceive us. And so we have false Christians. And they don't share the testimony because they don't have one. I read a story about a Lutheran pastor. I think it was over in Germany. And there was a really bad dude. A really bad dude in town who was doing really bad things, and this pastor went and rebuked him for his evil and his gross sin. And so he had a testimony being a bold pastor. Nobody else would confront this guy. And so in turn, this guy determined that he was going to kill this pastor. He hated him. But the pastor had a powerful testimony of loving God and being bold and not afraid. And so what this guy decided to do, he knew the pastor was going to come across at a certain time a plank over a a stream, a fast-flowing stream, and he thought he would dump them in there. He'd go out there and shove them off into the stream and drown them and hurt them, maybe try to kill them. And so he waited in the bushes. He's hiding. And so here comes the pastor one evening, and he gets out in the plank, and he comes across, and the guide does not go and do what he was going to do. Why didn't he do it? Well, sometime later on, he got saved. And he confronted the pastor and he said, you know, years ago you confronted me about my evil and I am grateful for that, but I hated you and I was going to kill you, but I couldn't do it. And I was, you remember when you go across that plank, you say, oh yeah, I was waiting for you and I was going to kill you. But I couldn't do it. He said, why? Why didn't you do it? He said, because you were not alone. Yeah, I was alone. No, he wasn't. Yeah, I was. Yeah, no. No, somehow or another, God had an angel there to protect him. And so do you and I have a powerful enough testimony that the enemy will be repelled away from us? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We might talk about that one a little bit later on. And so when we look at this, if we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, remember back in Revelation 1:3, how when we read the Word, if you'll read this book and you'll memorize this book and meditate upon it, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. We read, we hear, and we keep those things. And so we have a blessing. And heaven is for those that overcome. That is a description. Matter of fact, believers are disciples. We're to be disciples. And so heaven is for those that overcome. And so, in case you haven't figured this out, let me describe the Christian life to you. Warfare. It's warfare. And the devil's not going to bother anybody too much that's not saved. But those of us that love Jesus, we want to move ahead. And so to overcome is to fight against Satan and fight against the world. So do you overcome? And here's the principle. Whatever we do not overcome will overcome us. There's just no neutral in the gears. You're either moving forward or you're getting pushed back. And so we go that way. Once there was a Christian bishop. During the times of persecution and killing Christians back in those days. And he decided that he would deny the Lord. And his reasoning was this. He said, if I deny the Lord, I can continue on and work for Christ for many years. So he rationalized that. You ever rationalize something out and it doesn't work out? Well, he did. And here's his testimony towards the end of his life. He said, never deny Christ. He said, for 20 years after I denied Christ, I lived in total spiritual darkness. Total spiritual darkness. The Holy Spirit never allowed him to be used of God anymore. How do you deny him? How do I deny him? We deny him by not overcoming, by the power of the blood of the Lamb, by not using that testimony and value in our life, our self-life, our precious things, whatever, more than the things of Christ. And we do not overcome, we are overcome by the devil. It's warfare. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. Let me give you some key principles on this, on overcoming. How does the blood work? How does the blood of Christ work? It works by faith. By faith we believe that Christ's victory is ours, and it works. You say, that's too simple. I don't know. It's just if we believe it, it works. If we don't believe it, we don't use it. And so we just keep on. We keep on having victory. And something else here. We overcome. These are simple things. We overcome by faith. David overcome Goliath by faith. He was more than a conqueror. It didn't matter. He didn't care about giants. He knew God. I remember one black lady one time, when she's talking about problems and mountains and whatever, she said, "I tell my mountains how big my God is. I don't let my mountains tell me how big the mountain is or whatever. I tell my God, that mountain, how big my God is." And she overcomes. The devil works by intimidation and fear. No fear. We have no fear. I want to read you 2 Timothy. If I can read you 2 Timothy. Verse, we know this, 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," but I want to read you something about that. 2 Timothy 1:7, we quote it all the time, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." What's next? "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, I don't know why it is. I don't share Christ because I'm brave. I'm a chicken. I don't share Christ because of any. I share Christ because He's commanded me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not me. I told you this one of these times I was here. I was very shy. Introvert. Some people tell me I'm an extrovert. Maybe I'm an expert. Experts a drip under pressure. Anyway, that's not me. I wouldn't even speak in a crowd of two hardly sometimes. But God has taken, you know, when I'm in Bible college and the Spirit of God is working on me and God is saying, and I'll tell you this too, that He wants me to go into ministry. And I didn't go to Bible college because I wanted to go into ministry or be a pastor or whatever. No way. That was never in my mind. And I told God, "You got the wrong guy." He said, "I want to use you." In my spirit, we just sort of had a little time there talking things over. And I said, "Well, here's why you got the wrong guy. I am dumb. I have a hard time studying. I don't do too good with this Greek stuff. Lord, I hadn't even learned English yet." It helps to know English before you go to Greek. You know, I didn't take Greek. It took me. Praise the Lord for these new things. I can study real easy now. We got a guy in the church that knows Greek pretty good, and I can't speak, and I can't remember, and all these things. I'm a zero. I haven't got any qualifications. You know what the Lord said? That's exactly what I want. A zero. A zero. We got one daughter that just started a job working in a dental place where they do the teeth and all that stuff. And they like to get somebody in there that doesn't know anything about it. If somebody comes that's had some experience, and they got to retrain them to do it their way. If you don't feel like you're adequate or whatever, you're perfect. You're great. Because when we think we can, we don't do it. But if we don't think we can, then God will be the one that does it. Just stretch yourself out to God and say, "God, you know, it scares me to death to talk to someone about Christ. Would you show me how to do it? Would you help me? I'm just going to surrender to you." And you'll be amazed if you just surrender yourself to God, surrender your weakness or whatever, what God will do. He'll just do it. The hardest thing is just making the first step. And then from there on, God will take you. And you look for opportunities. I look for keys. You know, to open up the door. I'll be talking to somebody. I'll be probing around. And then when I get a key, then I'll try to get them to Christ. But this is only because I've been doing this for 50-something years. It was hard. It still is hard. And I still blow it. And I still don't do it. Depends if I'm going to obey the Lord or whatever. And of course, you realize we can't witness to everybody. And it's hard down in the South. The gospel belt is hard. People are hardened down there. They're hard here and they're hard everywhere. But no fear. No fear and no shame. No shame. This is overcoming. And there's a third thing that goes to this. We do it by faith. And we don't and we don't have fear, and then we don't fail. If we will not be ashamed, and if we will not have fear, then we will not fail. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It works like that. And then we'll be strong. I remember, I know I've been sharing a lot of things about Spurgeon, but Spurgeon told this story one time about a king who had a really close friend that was going to go into some kind of a really bad situation. There's some kind of trial or something and whatever. And this was a favorite subject of his. And he had been accused of something. And the king said, "Now I want you to go in there and I don't want you to be afraid whatever happens. But if things get really bad and it looks like it's going to go to the worst, I want you to take this with you and show it." And he gave him his ring, his ruby ring. And he was to pull it out if anything really went bad. And what the lesson is in that, when things really get to pushing in on us, let's show the blood of Christ. Let's use the blood of Christ. Use our testimony. And don't care about whatever happens to us. And so we overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And this is a basic, simple passage, but it's really hard for us to get into it. We show the blood. The demons, they fear the blood of Christ. And they fear the name of Jesus. And we overcome that way. Let me talk to you about fear a second. Fear will stop us from being courageous. Fear does a lot of things. It damages us. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we have a spirit of fear, where do we get this? Many times you don't realize it may be some kind of influence from the enemy. Maybe some kind of generational thing. Now, if your grandmother is afraid of storms or whether your mother's afraid of storms, and then they put those fears into us. You know, we got to be careful with little kids. You know, here comes a real wing banger storm coming in. And the mother says, "Oh no, here's another one of them terrible storms." And the kid, "Oh no." But instead, "Hey, look, God has really got a good one coming this time. Look at that. Look at them clouds and whatever. That's the power of God. Now let's go hide." You know. But we put into our children fear or faith. They learn more by what we do than what we say, don't they? And so if we exhibit a spirit of fear, they're going to pick up on that. But if we would exhibit faith to them, wow. Wow. We've had a lot of failure with our kids, but I know when we started, the Lord really impressed on me to trust Him more than money and finances. So we've tried to live by faith. And my children have some amazing illustrations of God working. They got a lot of failure illustrations too, right in there. But I mean, can you imagine? We had three of our kids had trouble with their eyes being crossed. They inherited that from me. I had to wear a patch when I was a kid. Had all kinds of problems. They had feet problems and stuff. But so we had surgery on our oldest, and he was real young. And then we had two more that had to have surgery. And so our second-born son had to have surgery on his eyes to correct it. And so they said it was going to cost $5,000. Remember that story? So I went to the bank and borrowed $5,000. Nope. We set up the appointment. The day came, the next day, and we didn't have the $5,000. I called him up and I said, "We're just going to have to cancel." And what happened when I came home? I found an envelope in my van for a cashier's check for $5,150. Does God care? I called him back up and said, "Do you still have that appointment?" And they said, "We do." I said, "We'll do the surgery. We'll do the surgery." And we just have to overcome these things by faith. But we fail a lot. I've had a lot of failure. And we just, you know. But the overcoming part should get more and more and more, and the failure less. And I want to tell you a little story. There was a terrible storm years ago off the Atlantic, off the England coast, and a ship had crashed, and they were trying to rescue people out there. They were sending a boat out there and bringing people in and bring them back and forth. And everybody was saved except one guy. One man was left. And the crew was tired. They'd been going out there rowing against some waves, and so we just can't go anymore. If we go out there, we'll probably die. Well, there was one man there by the name of John Holden. John Holden stood, and he said, "Do you have all the men?" They said, "No, there's one left, but we can't go anymore." So he turned around and he said, "Who will go with me to get that one man?" And so six other men agreed that they would go with him. But there was somebody that opposed him going. That was his mother. She said, "John, you're all I have to take care of me in my old days. You know, your dad is drowned at sea. And your brother William, we don't know where he is. He's been gone for 2 years. We don't even know if he's alive. Don't go, don't go, don't go." In other words, fear. And John said, "Mother, I got to go. There's a man out there." And so those other men went back, went out there with him. They rowed out there to the shipwreck. And what happened? They got the man. And as they're coming back in to the shore, they hollered, "Do you have your man?" And he said, "We've got our man. And tell my mother it's William, my brother." You never know with your victorious spirit of overcoming who you'll rescue, who you'll deliver. We can't live by fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Poor old Peter was, you know, he had his coat on, but he had chicken feathers under there. When he told the Lord he'd never deny him, but when he had the Holy Spirit, the chicken feathers are gone, and he is bold. The Holy Spirit filling us will help us overcome and accomplish things that we won't do in the flesh, but we have to be filled with the Spirit. I've got 14 messages in this series, and the last one I preached at church was on the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We won't cover that one. I'm going to do one more for you. But, do you have a spirit of fear? Do you have a spirit of fear? Well, was that all there was? We show the blood and you overcome. Well, let me wind this thing down a little bit. We overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb. We love not our lives unto death. And by the word of our testimony. Why did David have such victory over that giant? Well, we know a lot of different things about it. But the reason he had victory, because he knew he had the victory. A fool would go out and fight a giant if he wasn't sure he was going to beat him, right? Everybody else there was scared. But David went and fought that giant. He had won the giant. He had defeated the giant out in the pasture with the sheep. He knew he had the victory because he knew God. A lot of our failures is just because we don't know God as much as we should. And God has got all these verses in there that he's given us on victory. And it may be, who knows what it is that whoops us. And so he says in 1 Peter, we are to resist the devil and he will flee. And so many times we don't resist. That's a warfare tactic. Resist the devil. He goes about as a roaring lion, trying to scare us and everything, and we get scared and whatever. But God says that which is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4. Have you been born again? Are you really saved? Do you have a testimony? Will you talk to somebody about Jesus Christ? No matter if your knees shake, you know, you look like a bunch of leaves on a tree in the wind. But at least you should have the desire. Do you even have the desire to share Christ? And I tell you, it's a scary thing. And I've had my negative results from that, too. You will, too. So, first the blood cleanses us for salvation. And then the blood frees us from ourselves. And then the blood gives us courage to overcome. We overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb. This is an authority issue. The enemy only responds to proper authority. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of the Lamb, we resist the devil and God does the rest. You know, in Egypt, when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Until the blood was shed, they were still captives. And they overcame by the power of the blood of the Lamb, and that's the history. And so we're courageous. We are courageous. I want to tell you, we got a kid in our church, Emily's brother. Where's Emily? Okay. This guy is a walking historian. He's 16 years old. I can call on him any time to come up and give us some history on something. He hadn't failed me yet too much. And so in this sermon, when I shared it, I shared about the Battle of Chickamauga. I think that's how they, Civil War. He knows all about these wars and everything. The Battle of Chickamauga. And I said, you know, yeah, he knew about that. There was a soldier in that battle. There was a soldier in that battle that was so courageous and so fearless. It didn't matter how many bombs are exploding or bullets are coming. He's there at the cannon. He's shooting. He had no fear at all for his life. He's just crazy brave. But one day they decided to move him back and take care of the supply wagons. And they moved him out of the battle back in there to take care of the supply wagons. Do you know what happened to him? He began to get scared. He began to just be fearful of this battle and the bullets and everything. You know what they had to do with him? They had to put him back on the front in the battle to settle him down. He was born for the battle. And you and I are born for the battle. And he fought without any thought of his life. He was an overcomer in his attitude, in his heart. His life was just in the hands of God. And that's why he was so brave. The Battle of Chickamauga. Quite a thing. So if you think you can't, you won't. If you think you can, you will. 1 Peter 2:19. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Years ago, after I first got saved and I went over to Turkey, I had some tapes reel to reel. And even thought about cassettes or 8-tracks or whatever. And I had these messages somebody gave me. I had two different sets of Christian friends. And one was a message by David Wilkerson called A Monkey on the Mind. Anybody ever heard that? A long time ago. You know, he went into New York and to share Christ and reach folks for Christ. And he talked about this guy in the jungle. I don't remember if he was a missionary or whatever. I think he might have been. Anyway, he found this little cute baby monkey. And he picked that thing up and he took care of it. He fed it and it just grew. And he gave him bananas and everything. And just kept him company as he was out in the jungles. And he just kept growing. He'd get on his back and ride with him everywhere. But over time, the little monkey sort of grew and grew and grew. And he realized this is not a little monkey. This is a little gorilla. But he'd already developed the habit. He'd already developed the habit of toting this little monkey around the junk when the monkey wouldn't stand for anything but a piggyback ride. And he got bigger and bigger. And he had to carry him wherever he went. And he just got to where he was heavy. And the monkey didn't leave him until he left him crushed. Destroyed. Do you have a monkey on the mind that's been weighing you down, eating your bananas, eating your lunch? Do you need to go to God and ask Him to relieve you of this thing that keeps you from being a more than a conqueror? Jesus said, I've overcome the world. You could have something of the world in there. Your time could be dominated with all this stuff. You're going to the restaurant, and what's everybody doing? Having a great time together. They're all in their things, you know. These things, whatever it is, you need to unload it. That's stopping you and hindering you and stopping you. And so we overcome. or we'll be overcome. We're overcome or we'll be overcome. I want to close up. we were born for battle. I am going through listening. I listen to books and then I read. I try to go through one a week every year. At least get 52 books that I've read or whatever. Right now I think I'm reading 5 books and listening to 2 or 3 messages. Just to keep my mind. And then my wife's got me on doing a little Sudoku. So my brain, and I've been studying some stuff on science. Just try to keep my brain operating so I don't go crazy or whatever. But anyway, so I've really got into some interesting stuff in science. But anyway, we do the Sudoku a little bit to keep my brain going over there. So I'm listening to Edison, the life of Edison. It's going to be long. And I'm listening to all the details of his life. Amazing guy. Just, I mean, really details. I'm going to probably listen to that for 25 hours if I go all the way through it. But I want to share something about his life and this man. He didn't get discouraged. He had a lot of failures. I mean, big flops and whatever. He just didn't get discouraged. And I found this story about him, about something that happened to him when he was 67 years old. And even his workers would say, one day it came, they had 3 big failures and they lost thousands of dollars on it. And he said, okay, let's just keep going. He didn't go over and cry in the corner or whatever. They might cry, whatever. Oh, well, let's just keep going. Well, one day he had this big building that some chemicals caught on fire. This is 1914 in December. And had, I think it was storage batteries or something. And he was always working with chemicals and all this stuff, amazing stuff he did. And all the inventions he's come up with. But these packing compounds or whatever, I think it was for records of film. I'm looking at this story. I hadn't looked at it for a while. But they were flammable and something happened. They caught on fire and the building caught on fire. And they had fire companies from 8 towns to fight this fire. He had all kinds of chemicals and anything. This thing is burning. It's really bad. And everything was being destroyed. He's 67 years old. It's just like years of research and stuff is being burned up. And finally, his son finds him. And his son comes up there. And the building wasn't insured for $238,000. It was worth like $2 million or something. It's just a great tragedy. But they didn't insure it for much because it's a concrete building. Anyway, Charles comes up, his son, 24 years old, and Edison says, "Charles, go get your mom. Go get your mom. She'll never see anything like this again." Yeah, okay. Anyway, the next day, he's standing there looking at all the ruins and everything, and it's just all destroyed. And I think Charles was there. He's looking at these ruins, and he says this. I got it in a quote. He said, "There is great value in disaster. There's great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start new." That's what the blood of Christ. It covers all your mistakes, all your sins, and you can start over. 3 weeks after the fire, he managed to deliver the first phonograph. Got all the junk out of the way. If you need to start over, you can. The Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Lord, just a little simple message that you have said that we overcome the enemy. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Thank you for the victory. If we don't have the victory, it's because we're not claiming it. Maybe we don't even want it. Maybe we're satisfied to just live a low-level Christian life and be no threat to the devil in any way. But you designed us to be more than conquerors and worry him. But yet, sometimes we let him worry us. But like Edison, may we have this amazing attitude towards life. All our mistakes are covered by the blood of Christ, and we can start tonight and live a new life of victory and confess everything and put it under the blood and move on by faith. Thank you for blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.